Kia ora koutou, welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Cornwallis Chaplain Tōku Ingoa. Today on the show, the news out that New Zealand is temporarily suspending travellers from India from April 11, 4 p.m. We talk to Robert Carr, now here's the CEO at Radio Tirana. Also, a big development in the COVID Tracer app, in a bit to get more people scanning. Gamification capabilities are coming. Not so much a chocolate fish, but rewards all the same to get the scanning rates up. We go to Hawke's Bay also in the program, where devastated apple growers have had to leave thousands of tons of fruit on the trees. And should you have the right to disconnect by being uncontactable after work? What do you think? Unions in Australia are calling for that and have had some success. Also today, the art of small talk. And it is an art, isn't it? Can you do small talk or do you fear it? With me for the first time on the panel, Anna Dean, who is a former director of Double Denim PR, an ad agency, currently doing up, as I understand, an historic Shepherd's Cottage in Golden Bay. Ooh. Kia ora, Anna.
Kia ora, Wallace.
Lovely to have you on. Welcome to the panel.
Thank Shepherd's you. Cottage, not a shepherd pie. I thought you were going to say shepherd's pie for a second there.
I bet you can do some small talk, Anna.
Oh, I'm quite a champion of small talk. I can say that quite confidently.
Well, thank goodness for that for the next hour. Yeah. I'd be really worried if you'd say that.
All right. And as you heard right there, Tim Watkin, he's the founder of blog site Pundit and executive producer of podcast and series at RNZ. Tim, kia ora.
Kia ora. And how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And with us for
are you though? Tell me all about it. Don't just go for the small talk. Tell me how you really feel,
okay,
Wallace.
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you at 25 past four. And with our story of the day, Robert Kelly. Robert, hello.
Kia ora, Wallace. I love the idea of getting three people on a radio show who are all terrible at talking. it's kind of anti-production. I'm quite into it. It's almost like a concept piece.
I had a. I'm not going to say who, but a big media boss once told me that, you know the power in interviews. The thing that interviewers don't realise, the real power they have, silence. And I was like, yeah, nah. Really, dead air is not your friend. No. I mean, there is a very good argument for as you would well know, Wallace, for that very clever, you know, just leaving it hanging for a few seconds and wait for the people just to fill the space.
You got it.
But yeah, but dead air is a whole other thing.
All right, Rob.
Okay, I want to talk about Lego larceny. Has everyone got a lock on their Lego sets?
No.
So what's happening, basically, it's mainly in Europe right now, but it may spread here, is that Lego theft has gone through the roof over the last 2 years. And it's been drawn to our attention by a police investigation in France, a small town just outside Paris, where three people were caught stealing boxes of Lego from a toy shop. They then traced them back to their hotel room in that town and discovered that they'd been doing this right around France, and had amassed several €100,000 worth of Lego. So what they were doing was taking them back to Poland and selling it online back into France and other European nations, and they'd been doing it for years. But they're not alone. Lego itself is a $5.5 billion industry. That was what they made in 2019 in sales. It's absolutely massive. But what's happening now is that the counterfeit and stolen Lego market is growing exponentially, and people are really worried about what effect that's going to have.
I didn't realise it had such cachet, Rob. I didn't realise.
It's very expensive these days, I've got to say. It's fabulous stuff. I mean, you can't live without Lego.
I always thought it was a bit overrated. I was a big, and I don't know about you, did you play with Lego?
Of course. I'm just wondering what counterfeit Lego looks like. Mm.
Well, I can tell you, it looks very much like Lego, but is often worse at being clipped.
Bad colours.
The clipping together is worse.
See, I'll tell you what's better than Lego, folks, and listeners will...
Are you a Meccano boy?
Go on. It's Meccano. And listeners will agree with me on this. 2101. What's better, Lego?
The great Meccano Lego debate of Lego 2021.
Versus Meccano.
Didn't realise I was wading into a partisan conflict.
Wow, clearly.
I will say Lego. This. You won't make as much money on the Meccano black market.
There's not a demand there.
You sure about that?
Well, I don't know, Wallace. Prove me wrong. We'll turn it into a heist film.
Meccano could be a gateway toy into the real hard stuff of Lego.
I worry that if you start doing Meccano in any serious way, you'll end up actually building engineering projects. But the counterfeit Lego is a different thing, and it's been going on for years. There are some companies that actually make it specifically, and Lego don't even bother with them because it's such a small part of the market. But they make, because it's hard to copyright some of the things, right? It's just bricks. It's just bits of plastic. And it's also, you can't watermark it. So, so people make these sets. And so my big piece of advice today is, if you are buying Lego, don't buy it secondhand. Buy it from an accredited retailer, because it's very likely that if you're buying it online, it's been either stolen or it's counterfeit.
How interesting. So to that end, Lego joins the likes of what? Rolex and Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, and I suppose the art market.
And the art market.
It's a very interesting thing. It's like expensive perfumes. Don't buy them on the street, I guess. But the other thing that's happening is that Lego, over the last 10 to 15 years, basically tried to create a higher-end product. So they started making these sets, and Tim, I think this is what you're talking about, these expensive kits that are kind of like 500 or 600, 700, 800.
Oh, well, yes, there are those. No, but there are some amazing things. You can spend that kind of money for like a whole Death Star or things like that. But even your basic kind of, you know, spaceship and a couple of figures, or, you know, truck and which can be turned into a boat and a couple of figures or something, this is like $50 to $100, you know. This is not $20 toys anymore.
Totally. And so those sets that come out, like the Death Star that you're talking about, they do limited runs. So they do about 200, 300 of some of them, thousands of others. So people buy it for decades. People have been buying them and storing them.
Right. And there's architecture ones too, eh? You can buy Eiffel Towers and Great Walls of China and certain special series of those.
Yeah, you can also get these ones now that are for mindfulness for adults, where you make floristry arrangements and things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the expansion of the adult colouring book.
Pretty controversial on the text machine here. Someone says, mechanics grow up with Meccano, real engineers grow up with Lego.
Come on, Lego, yes. Come on, Lego voters.
Shots fired.
Text us now, 21001.
Love to know more about that slur, because that feels like something that engineers have been saying to each other for years, and we're just kind of tripped over it.
Chris says, both Meccano and Lego are fabulous, but don't forget Baco, which I've never heard of.
Baco.
No, drawing blanks.
No. You're on your own there, bro.
Knuckle bones.
And Hillary says, Lego idea, unblocking blocks, was not designed by Lego. Do your homework. Fair enough.
I don't think anyone actually alleged that they invented it.
No.
All we said is they've made quite a lot of money doing it.
And Phil says, sold my Lego collection about 6 years ago, Star Wars UCS, etc. It paid for our house deposit.
No. Whoa.
So maybe Lego.
Oh, we're in the wrong game.
Lego thievery is the way to go, Robert. Life of crime.
It's time to rebrand.
Those Lego figures who are the little burglars? If you steal Lego, do you have to wear those stripy shirts?
I've actually got a black and white stripy shirt on today, unintentionally.
Beautiful.
So maybe that's my future. Maybe that's the way to go. I mean, if you can get €2,500 for a Cafe Corner Lego set, which was €150 when it was released to shops in 2007, it's time to start stealing and buying smart.
Extraordinary. All right, Robert, thank you very much. A lot of Lego feedback. We'll try and fit that in somewhere during the program. Anna Dean, why don't you start? I've been thinking.
Oh gosh. Yes, it's a bit of a big one. I've actually been thinking. I mean, I dare I say it, I'm not too excited about the border opening up again. And for Australia, I've been feeling quite wistful about it, actually. And it's probably because I don't have any close relatives over in Australia.
Right.
I'm not a grandparent dying to see my grandchildren and
you
things
have friends,
like that.
Though, eh?
I've got friends, and it has actually been very lovely seeing them booking flights and saying they're going to be back, you know, quite soon. But I've just really been kind of reflecting on this beautiful kind of, it's like a bubble of the whole city, a whole country that feels like a bit of a creative incubator that we've been in. There's been so much talent that's come back to New Zealand over this period. And I've just been really kind of thinking about this cultural leap forward that we've been making. I was sitting in the Wairarapa a couple of days ago with some friends watching the Boiler Room live stream of the Filth Auckland Club, this club night. excellent, diverse, creative, unapologetic, kind of fierce Māori and Pacifica culture writ large being broadcast around the world. And I was like, this is an incredible cultural moment. This is not happening on the streets of Berlin. This is not happening in Portugal. This is not happening in the States. People are hanging around their laptops and kind of hanging out in their bedrooms still. And we've been in this beautiful, creative place where people have been able to collaborate. And I just think that there's something very precious happening in the country at the moment. And we've also then got a whole lot of people, like myself, to be honest, who've been priced out of the main centres, who've moved to the provinces, and we're also kind of taking these quite edgy city ideas out into these smaller areas, and just feels like quite a beautiful moment for the whole country.
So you're seeing, it's a very interesting idea. So you're seeing as this opening of the border, at least the Trans-Tasman bubble, as sort of cracking open the window into the world, and you're not quite sure if you're ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been very beautiful in the South Island. Things have been, you know, quite calm. There hasn't been a huge amount of traffic. I drove recently from Lyttelton back up to Golden Bay and was just marvelling at the fact that I wasn't stuck behind umpteen camper vans in 20 car kind of lines of traffic trying to overtake on a windy road. Mm. And it's just been this beautiful kind of spaciousness that feels quite tender and almost like it needs to be protected before we get this kind of onslaught of visitors. And I know that musicians, artists, people are going to be very desperate to come here. And I just hope we're a bit careful about it. I mean, I know obviously the tourism industry is just crying out for visitors, and I know that's fantastic, and people are going to be loving to be able to go shopping in Melbourne. But also,
I was going to say those empty roads around Banks Peninsula. Obviously, for every empty road, there's a business dying on its knees, which
absolutely
will be delighted to see those
Tim,
cars back.
It's time for you. I've been thinking.
Oh crikey! What have I been thinking? I can't. You're right though, Anna. It's fascinating what we should count our blessings for that. Mm. But I guess, as I say, there's a flip side to every coin in that one. And vice versa, when the crowds come back, it'll be great for the businesses, hopefully, who can regather. But, will be hard for some of those people who have enjoyed the space. So, yeah. My thing is look, I've busy times recently. I've been pulling a few long hours. And what I've found myself is diving into just, in the few moments of quiet, you need something to keep you sane when your just mind's running the whole time. And my latest obsession has been the upcoming NFL draft.
The NFL draft,
American football. I'm not a lifelong fan. I've followed the 49ers for a while when I lived in the States. I've got family in California and so forth. But I'm now just obsessed with what the 49ers are going to do with the number 3 pick in the draft, and why the Panthers are trading for Bridgewater, and all these things that are interesting. Well,
do you understand the game?
Yes, I do. I do now. When I say I do, Wallace,
it's quite complicated.
It's quite complicated.
It's very statistics based, isn't it?
It is, and it's a game of inches. It is the original game of inches. But four downs get 10 yards. It's all there. But
I love it.
So do I.
I'm a big fan.
I'm more and more into it, and I think it's interesting to see a lot of these global sports are coming to New Zealand more. But yeah, it's just found that when the river of life is running very high, grabbing onto a few really dumb sticks like that can really help your brain.
Very poetic, both of you. Very poetic. All right, Anna Dean and Tim Watkin with me this afternoon on the panel. Stay with us 4 to 5 right here.